Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 391, stanzas 1 through 4. When morning lights the eastern skies, O Lord, thy mercy show. On thee alone my hope relies. Let me thy kindness know. All stanzas of Psalter 391. scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the book of Exodus, the 13th chapter, beginning with verse 17 through verse 22. Exodus 13, beginning with verse 17 to the end. But first, we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, and for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, and thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Exodus 13, beginning with verse 17. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth, and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And so far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it behooves us so to bow before thee, to come in the dust of self-abasement in this morning hour, for thy great goodness bestowed upon each and every one of us. O thou knowest all our hearts and all that lies within, that thy goodness and thy long-suffering that is so magnified over against who that we are day by day. Oh, to open our eyes more and more to see, and that our hearts may melt under all thy great goodness, and that we may be brought by renewal to thy blessed footstool, and that thou may grant us broken hearts and contrite spirits, and that it may be for the first time in this day, or that it may be by renewal in the life of thy own children. Oh, that we may be drawn by thee, Lord. There is so much that is in this world that draws our wicked and our sinful hearts. We do stray away from thee. Then thy people also, they are as those who get lost in the desert. They are as those that wander away from that flock which thou hast brought them into, and then time and time again. And then thy goodness over us, that thou bestowest food and drink and clothing and shelter and all the necessities and all the bounties of this life. And thou givest us thy word, that we may search thy word day by day. And we see not all these blessings, we take them so for granted. We go on in our wicked life. Oh, convert us, Lord. Oh, convert us for the first time or by renewal. And wilt thou send thy Spirit? It is thy holy day. Lord, we beseech thee, and we are traveling to a great eternity, each and every one of us, and we, by nature, we are going on a broad way that goes to destruction. Oh, Lord, then thou knowest that we have hearts that are dead in sin and in trespasses, and that we have no desire after the true and the living God. And so we will go our whole life long if thou dost not prevent it. Oh, come, Lord, it is thy day. Oh, that thou mayst stretch forth thy hands. Hast thou not preserved thy word among us? And hast thou not given that thy truth also may be preserved for us and for our dear children? Oh, that thou whose arm is so mighty and whose covenant is so sure, that thou may look on us today when we are gathered around thy holy word and everlasting testimony. All things so changeable here below, but thy word that is ever to stand so firm and so sure. Oh, that there may be open eyes this morning, and that we may be given to see the great blessedness of thy people, and that a holy jealousy may be born in our hearts,
and that we also may be given that same grace that thou bestowest unto thy church. Oh, that there may be those who may feel something in this day of the great emptiness of their life as they are going by nature over this world without God and without hope in this world. Oh, that thou may then open the eyes and break that heart and that stony heart. Oh, that it may be drawn to thee. And that thy spirit may with power work in and amongst young and old. Lord, there is none too young. The children also. Oh, we do not know what is before them in their life, in all that is coming in this world. But, oh God, thou who wast the help of thy children, oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Oh, be thou our guard, while troubles last, and our eternal home. And take our children, oh, take our children, Lord. Take them for thy own account in all that is coming against them, in all the temptations of the prince of darkness. And that do come against them and draw their hearts out into all the iniquity and the sin. And when all the forces of evil and all the forces of persecution that we may see is such a dark, dark cloud coming upon our children. Lord, we beseech it of thee. Thou who... under whose shadow of whose throne thy saints have dwelt so secure, and whose arm alone is sufficient for the rising generation. Oh, come, Lord, it is thy day. Oh, wilt thou come today, and wilt thou break the hearts, oh, break the hearts, Lord, of young people. Break the hearts of fathers and of mothers, of grandfathers and of grandmothers. And show us, Lord, wilt thou show us that thou art still alive and that thou art the ruler over all the land of Egypt. Oh, come, come with thy spirit. Take thy own children again, Lord. Oh, take them by heart and by hand. Oh, feed them in the wilderness with a little bit of that manna. Oh, that thou may give us to be a little instrument in thy holy fingers this day. Take away all that is of ourself, because thou knowest us. Oh, Lord, we have nothing to give unto thy people, but thou and dost say give. Give ye them to eat. Lord, give thou them to eat. Oh, that thou may break the loaves, and that thou may feed them a little in thy house. And when from us there is no sufficiency, oh, take care of us today, all together, and that we may be for a moment together under the power of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, look upon all thy servants that thou hast sent into this world. Oh, thou knowest where that they are. Oh, thou knowest and that they have not sent themselves. And it is a work when thou goest now with them, Lord, in their own hearts. Oh, they shall rise up in pride and in sin. And then they have such a long way to fall. But wilt thou break the hearts of thy servants? And wilt thou give that thy word, that it may be spread forth to thy honor over the length and the breadth of the world, to the coming of thy kingdom, and that the evil forces may be put away? Look upon all the afflicted and the sick ones in this morning hour, when they may not be able to come to thy house. Lord, thou knowest the place where they are. Wilt thou be to them a sanctuary? Oh, that there may be desire, and that their thoughts also may be together with us, and that thou may show thyself to be a God also unto them, to help in the recovery, in the circumstances of life, and when thou hast given that they may come through operations also, wilt thou give strength once again, and wilt thou look upon all of the congregation, whether there are needs of the mind, the needs of the body, and the needs of the soul. Thou who art all sufficient, go with us this day, this morning, we beseech thee. Oh, take away the buyers and the sellers, Lord, and wilt thou be amongst us as one that serveth, and that so undeservedly, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 29, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee, O Lord, I fly, and on thy help depend. Thou art my Lord and King. Most high, and do thou my soul defend. 29, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which we may read together, Exodus 13, and thereof the 21st and the 22nd verses. Exodus 13, verses 21 and 22. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So far, the words of our text. The pillar of cloud and fire. First, the significance of this pillar. Second, the purpose of this pillar. And third, and the perseverance of this pillar. The pillar of cloud and fire. First, the significance. Second, the purpose. And third, the perseverance of this pillar. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud. What do we read, congregation? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He is the creator of the whole world and all of this world that is in his hands. Whether it is the beasts of the field, and all the heart also of the enemy, that is all in his hands. And we have seen something of it. We have seen something of the plagues by which the Lord, he has come against the enemy, and so that there was no one. There was no one that was able to touch the true people of the Lord. And then we can see it also in the destruction of the wicked. How that the Lord comes unto that city of Sodom, and how that the Lord is raining fire and brimstone from heaven against those who have no desire to walk in his ways. And when the people of the Lord need the help from the Lord, then we can read of Joshua that he is beseeching the Lord, and the Lord, he is making the very sun in the heavens and the moon to stand still for the sake of his people. All the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And everything that is in the hands of the Lord, that will be to the welfare, it will be to the salvation of his own church. And now here we read of something else. We read about that pillar, the pillar of cloud and of the fire. What does it look like, children? That was not like you look up in the sky and you can see the clouds today, but it is a pillar. It is a pillar that is ascending vertically into the sky. And then on the bottom of that pillar, and then that cloud that is spreading itself over horizontally over the earth. Thus, it was a very special cloud. It was a miracle of the Lord. It was a hot desert. And that cloud that is the work of the Lord to protect his people from the burning sun. Or if we are acquainted with that burning sun, or then we know that a little shadow of a cloud that is now a great deliverance for us for this life. But it was more for them, because it was not only a cloud, but in that cloud there was a fire. Thus that cloud that is glowing. That is glowing, and it may be, as we read for the children of Israel, if for a light, and if then we are acquainted in this world a little with darkness, and then we know that just a very little bit of light, that is a very great deliverance. Thus a pillar of cloud and of fire. But it is for the children of Israel more than just a mere natural help. It is more for them just an easement of all of the burdens that they have to experience in this world. But what do we read here? We read here something that is so special, because we read that the Lord, He goes before the children of Israel in that cloud. Thus it is a sign, thus it is a symbol of the very presence of the Lord. And then in that cloud they may behold something of the blessed majesty of God that is going before them. That is a wonder. All that is the greatest wonder, if the Lord may go before us in our life. Seeing congregation where we have come from, how that we were created and how that we have fallen, how that we have rebelled and what our whole life is. Or is that not now the greatest wonder, if the Lord may go before us, if the presence of the Lord and may dwell with us as we have to go through this life. Oh, later Moses, the Lord threatens the children of Israel because of their sin. And the Lord says, I will send my angel. He says, I will not go with you myself. And then what does Moses say? He says, oh, Lord, if thy presence go not up with us, then carry us not a pence. Oh, then I don't want to take one more step. If thy presence may not go with us, the Lord, congregation, He is with His people. Oh, He is with His people, as we can read here, in that pillar of cloud and that pillar of fire. But it is one thing. It is one thing if the Lord may be with His people, and He is always with His people. But it is another thing if the felt presence of the Lord may be with His people, or if they may have something of the tokens and the signs that the Lord is among them. And now, and the Lord gives something of a visible token. And that is for whom? That is for His young church. Oh, what kind of church are they? They are the church that has just been born again. That is a church that have just come out of the land of Egypt. That is the Old Testament church. That is the church that is laying under the shadows. That is the church that is laying under the types. They are the church that needs that instruction from the Lord. And what does the Lord do? Oh, how often it is so. In the beginning of that life, they are a people. The Lord draws them out of this world. The Lord, He gives them a new heart, boys and girls. The Lord gives them a new life. The Lord gives them a new will. The Lord gives them a new desire. Oh, they are young in their experience. They do not know so very much. But you know what they are rich in? They are rich in love. Oh, they are rich in love, so that that bride, oh, she is looking at the daughters of Jerusalem with a holy jealousy, that she may come back to that life that is rich in love. And she is rich often in the tokens of the presence of the Lord, that the Lord is going with her, that she may come up sometimes in the house of the Lord, and that she may feel sometimes week after week so much of that felt presence of the Lord, and that may draw her, Oh, a church that may feel the presence of the Lord when they go on their knees, that they may pour out their heart to Him, and that their heart may be more and more drawn to Him. But now there's even more. There is even more in that cloud, not only the presence of the Lord, not only the felt presence of the Lord, but later on, and then we can read how that cloud that is connected to the angel of the Lord, that is not just to a created angel, as all of the blessed angels, the holy angels. No, but that is actually the uncreated angel. That is the Son of God. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus it is Christ Himself. Christ Himself that goes before His church. Who is He? He is the deliverer of His church. Oh, He gave Himself for that church. He gave Himself in His active obedience. He gave Himself in His passive obedience. And regeneration, that is the fruit of it. Oh, He is going to have now a seed that was promised Him of His Father. He is going to have now a seed which is going to serve Him. And therefore He will draw them out of Egypt. He will regenerate them. He will cut them off from Adam. But He will also engraft them into Himself. So He is not only going to deliver them, but He is also going to go with them. Or He goes before them, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud, and by night in a pillar of fire. In Revelations we read, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Oh, we heard it last time already, how that sometimes then the words, they are too short, and the examples, they are too short, and the all of nature, that is too short, to speak of the majesty and the glory and the mercy and the goodness and the kindness of the Lord in His only begotten Son. And then we see how that John sees the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it is as if all the nature, the beauty of nature, is not able sufficiently to describe what that Son of God looks like. But here we read, he is pictured as it were a pillar, a great pillar. What do we use a pillar for? Young people, sometimes when you build a house, and that house that has to go on earth, that is movable, and then they will take a pillar, and they will dig down deep into the ground, and they will put the bottom of that pillar upon a solid rock, and then upon the top of that pillar, then they may rest that house. Or you may see sometimes how that on a house or on a great building, you may see the pillars that they are holding up the roof for another part of that building. Thus, a pillar that is, as it were, a foundation, a pillar that is, as it were, something that is underneath to uphold, and that pillar that is a symbol of that which is firm, and that is so immovable that you cannot shake it. And thus is the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as He is now going forward before His people as the firm and as the immovable foundation. That is now a pillar. upon which that true people of the Lord may sometimes, by a true saving faith, they may sometimes lean their whole weight upon that pillar. And do you know what they then may experience? Then they may experience how firm, what an immovable foundation is that pillar of that Son of God. And everything that He has done for their salvation. Oh, when the foundations of this world, all that seems children like this world, the mountains, then it seems like those mountains, they are so very, very firm. And that world that is so very sure and firm and certain under your feet. But there is coming a day when those mountains, they are going to shake. And then what does the psalmist say? Oh, he says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. No, we will not fear though this whole earth be removed and though those mountains, they are cast into the sea. Oh, is it not true then that psalmist, he felt something. What a great, solid, what a foundation that church of God was standing upon. What is it? It is all based upon that finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say that was not yet accomplished. It did not happen yet. All that is true. But do you see how firm it is? Oh, that Lamb that was slain, congregation, from the foundation of the world. There was no question. Oh, that pillar that was going before the children of Israel already in the Old Testament, that covenant of redemption cannot be broken. Cannot be broken. Why? Because we're not a party. Because man is not a party. Oh, we can break it. We can break that covenant of works, yes. Oh, we are not able to break a covenant of grace because there is nothing for us to break. Oh, the outward covenant, yes, that we can break. We hope to see in this afternoon, the Lord willing, that sacrament of baptism administered. Then we can break that. We can say we will not do this. We will turn away. We will turn away from the institutions of the Lord. But the church of God is not able to break the essence of that covenant. So it was already in the Old Testament. And now, oh, that blood is shed. That blood is shed. And the justice of God that is satisfied. Do you know what the Lord He has done? The Father, He has raised Him from the dead. There we have the proof. There we have the proof of what? That the Lord is no more angry with His people. That He has chosen from the foundation of the world. Oh, nevertheless, and the foundation of the Lord of God standeth sure. He knoweth them that are His. And He will bring them not only out of the house of bondage, but, O people of the Lord, what is your fear? What is your fear? He will bring them not only out of the house of bondage, no, but He will bring them also into Canaan. Let us go to our second thought, the purpose of this pillar. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way. When is that necessary? To lead them the way. That is, congregation, when they do not know the way. And was that not so for the children of Israel? They have come now out of the land of Egypt. And now they come where? They come into a trackless desert. Were they travelers before? They were not travelers. They were home and felt at home in that land of Egypt. Oh, they do not know yet what a pilgrimage is. But then the Lord converts his people, and he makes this world a bondage. And then they go on pilgrimage. And do you know what they enter? They enter a way that they have never known before. They have to walk in paths that they have never walked in before. At least not by experience. And then they are blind to that way. So that they do not even know what is the next step that they have to take. All before they did not need to be led. No, they didn't need to be led. They did not need the advice of everyone. Maybe they walked in the world. Maybe you do that too, young people. And then you did not need the advice of your parents, and you did not need the advice of God's children. Then you say, no, I have gone to university, and I am more educated, and those people, well, they are just a little bit simple. And they believe in things that they cannot even see, No, then you did not need to be led. Or maybe it was different. Maybe you walked in the way of the church. Maybe you walked outwardly a decent life. And then you also thought you knew the way. And then you said, what good things shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And then you had strength to fulfill it. And you had the knowledge. You knew just exactly how everything had to go. And now through conversion. Or if the Lord converts you, and if the Lord brings you and makes this world a bondage, then he will bring you where? Then he will bring you into that trackless desert. And do you know what you will begin to say? Oh, then you will go on your knees, and then you will say, Lord, lead me, and Lord, guide me, and Lord, teach me, because I do not know the way. And the Lord went before them, by day in a pillar of cloud, to lead them in the way. What do we read? That the Lord says, I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. And I will lead them in paths that they have not known. Oh, that is now the greatest blessing of the Lord. If we congregation may be led by the Lord, and if the Lord may go before us in our life. But by nature we are not teachable. By nature we are not leadable, because we think we know the way. So the Lord, he has to make us so. How? He has to strip us of our knowledge. He has to strip us of our strength. The Lord has to make us so that we are of as yesterday and that we know nothing. Oh, Saul thought that he knew what to do in Damascus. Didn't he, children? He thought he knew just what he had to do. And then the Lord converted him. And then what did he say? He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And then the Lord led him in a different way. Oh, he led him in a way that he never thought to go in his life. And even after the Lord converts his people, oh, God's people, they think very often that actually they know the way now and that it has to go. When they are called out of that land of Egypt, and what do they say? Lord, only have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Lord, I will leave the paths of sin. Oh, then thou wilt not be angry with me anymore. And then I can be reconciled unto thee. And what does the Lord have to do? Oh, the Lord has to lead them. The Lord has to lead them in such a different way. Why? Because a covenant of works is broken. And they don't know anything about the new covenant. They don't know anything about a covenant of grace. But the Lord is going to lead them in that way. And he is going to lead them in that way, step by step, unto that land of Canaan. That is the way that they have to learn to follow the Lord. Because that cloud that sometimes went up, and when that cloud went up, then they had to arise. And then when that cloud went down, and then they had to stay where they were. They had to settle. And they had to wait. And sometimes that is the most difficult part, just to wait. And that we are not going forward, to stay a while. Because that church wants always to be going forward. And the Lord knows how to lead his children. And the Lord knows that they also need to learn to follow him. Reverend Huntington, he writes about little faith. And he says, you cannot hurry. You cannot hurry that little faith. And then often then they think that the Lord, he does it all wrong in their life. And the Lord has to show them that he is wiser. And that is often when they will be looking back upon the work of the Lord. And that they may see the wisdom of the Lord in all that way. And that he has led them in this life. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. So he leads them. So he is going. He brings them out of that land of Egypt. And he will begin to teach them. What is now one of the first lessons? Do you know what one of the first lessons is? That is that they are not going to be traveling on the short route to that land of Canaan. What do we read here? And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. There is a quick way, but that is not the way of the Lord with his people. That is the experience of his church. And when that church is young, or they want to go in that quick way, then they want to go from step to increase in that way of grace. Is that all wrong? Oh, that is not wrong. Comes out of the love of their heart. And that love in their heart that has been planted by the Lord. We love him because he first loved us. Oh, could they leave all sin behind them? And could they this day serve the Lord with all their heart? Oh, then they would be tomorrow in that land of Canaan. But what does the apostle say? Ye have need of patience, he says, after ye have done the will of God, that ye might receive the promise. Oh, yes, the Lord is free. Indeed, there was a Saul, but there is also a normal way. We read there is in the Bible a woman. She has a spirit of infirmity. For how long? 18 years. Oh, we read of a woman. She has an issue of blood. How long? 12 years. We see a man. He is lying by the pool of Bethesda. How long was his infirmity, boys and girls? 38 years. You say that is a long time. Oh, 20 years. 20 years between Bethel and Peniel. No, the Lord is not in a hurry. And the Lord is not taking that short way with his people. But he is leading them according to his wisdom. And he is leading them according to all of his goodness and his compassion for that people. Why does he not lead them by that short way? Why does he not lead them by the way of the Philistines? We read that here. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and return to Egypt. What does the Lord do? He leads them out of the way of temptation. Do you ever ask the Lord for that? Lead us not into temptation. Those people were not warriors. They were slaves. For how long in the land of Egypt? They were not trained in war. And the Philistines, and they have taken over a large part already of that land of Canaan. And they are trained in war. Thus, when the children of Israel, they will come upon those Philistines and they see war, then there is going to be a very great temptation to do what? To go back. Oh, thus how good the Lord is. When the Lord is leading His children out of that land of Egypt, do you know what that people don't see? Then they do not see all the warfare. They do not see all the Lord. He does not uncover all the depths immediately of all that lives in their heart. Because if that people would see and that people would know how that life now is going to go, then there is a great temptation and that they would forsake it all and go back again. What do we do, fathers and mothers? We do not destroy. We do not destroy our children. We do not destroy our youth. We do not lay upon them the burdens and that to lay upon us. No. But the Lord, He is drawing His people. Then He is drawing them with His love. And then He is not showing them everything. No, the time is going to come that they also are going to have to fight. But for this moment, when they are untrained, then in the goodness of the Lord, then He is leading them about and out of the way of that awful temptation. Do you know what we read in the Bible? We read about an eagle and how that eagle, she takes care of her young and she puts out her wings and that she carries her young on her wings. And then it says the Lord, He does so even unto His own children. And yet they will begin to be trained. They will begin to be trained. And not everything is going to be understood by the people. Because then they leave there that Ramses and they go unto Succoth. And then they are traveling and they are going to go unto Etham. And that all makes good sense because that is all going toward that land of Canaan, and that is now the goal. That is the place where they desire to be. But then something happens. What do we read? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Beelzephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. All they have no sooner come out. And their expectation, and that is to go soon to that land of Canaan. And they are going to take that direct route. And then the Lord, He says, turn around. Because congregation, it is not long after that people, they are drawn out of that land. And when everything seems to be going right, and then the Lord, He seems to turn it around so that they cannot understand why that the Lord leads them in a way that seems to go so, so wrong. Is that now also in your own life? Oh, when you had such a desire living in your heart, and the Lord, He has drawn your heart out of this world
so that you could leave the world and every former friend behind you. And that now you cannot understand why that it does not go in the way that you thought that it would go. Oh, then you do not walk in a strange way. Turn. Turn and encamp before Pirhiro. And then the Lord sees fit to lead his people in a way different than their expectations. And then the Lord sees fit to lead his people through the wilderness unto that land of Canaan. And there is a way that is going to go through the sea. And why? Because in that wilderness, there are going to be lessons. Lessons that the people have to learn. And what are they going to experience in that wilderness? They're going to experience their great helplessness. That they are not able to provide for themselves upon this way that the Lord is leading. All in that wilderness, the Lord is going to teach his people to live out of the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. There he is going to feed them with that blessed manna. All in that wilderness, then the people are going to experience something more and more of all that is living in their own heart. The rebellion that is against the Lord. That they may cry unto the Lord in their distress, and that he may deliver them out of their distresses. All in the wilderness, then the Lord is going to teach his people how that he is now going to receive all the honor and all the glory. Let us sing. 294. 292. Stanzas 2, 3, and 4. From captivity released, from the south and from the north, from the west and from the east, in his love he brought them forth, ransomed out of every land from the adversary's hand. 2, 3, and 4 of 292.
Thank you.
a pillar of cloud by day. But we also read a pillar of fire by night. And why? Because they had to travel by times, not only by day, but they also had to travel by night. How is it in the night, children? In the night that is dark. And thus sometimes the children of Israel, when they were traveling, they had to travel when it is dark. And when it is dark, you cannot see where you have to go. And that is why now the Lord gave them not only a cloud, that during the day, that they may be shadowed from that great and burning heat in the wilderness. But then the Lord is also looking at his children under every circumstance that they will come in their travels in this life. And then he says, sometimes then my people, they have to walk in darkness. Is that not so, people of the Lord? Oh, David, he says, the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to walk in darkness as those that have been long dead. Oh, when it is dark, then they cannot see their way. Oh, when it is dark, then there can be so many fears that actually nothing was ever right in their life. When it is dark, then they cannot see the evidences and the tokens of the Lord's work, what he has done in my life. Asaph says, we see not our signs. Then the trials and the afflictions, they are blinding their eyes. Just like Asaph, then he says, it is the wicked, they do prosper, and the righteous, they have not the blessing of the Lord. And then the Lord seems himself also to even be so far away from them. Why art thou so far from the voice of my roaring? So it is not on the Lord's side. No, what do we read? The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. The darkness hideth not from God. The night is to him as the day. But do you know what it says now in the Word of God? That sometimes unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. And that is now what we read. We hear of the children of Israel, and by night, a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. What does the Lord say? He says, I will make the darkness light before them. I will make the crooked ways straight before them. Why? That he may lead them in a way wherein that church will not stumble. A pillar of fire by night to give them light. That is now the same as that pillar of cloud. The pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, that is one. That is Christ himself. Oh, he is everything. He is everything for his church. And now that church, they are led by that light, even though that it can be so dark all about them, then that church that is led by that light, sometimes so unknowingly, sometimes so imperceptibly, that sometimes the Lord just gives them such a little light into this attribute or that attribute of the Lord in order that they may go further. But if we read Jeremiah, he says this. He says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Oh, this I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. Oh, the mercies of the Lord, they are never failing." That is when a man can see nothing else but that the Lord sheds just a little light in the darkness on the unfailing mercies of the Lord. Then Jeremiah, he may go forward. And so that pillar of the cloud, even in the night, often imperceptibly still going before His church. And then other times that the Lord is giving unto His church more light, that that light may shine with a particular brightness, that He may give them light upon that way of salvation to those that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to do what? To guide their feet unto that way of peace. Is that not where they are going, children? Oh, they are going unto that way of peace. Then he says to the soul of those who are laboring under that burden and that sense of sin, oh, then as it were, he whispers, "I will have mercy and not sacrifice." And then they may see. Oh, then it may become so light to them. How dark was that for Mephibosheth when he had to stand, he had to come before King David. And, oh, that was a dark, dark cloud, because he thought, surely it is death. And then to hear that voice of the king to say, "Fear not, Mephibosheth, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan. For Jonathan, thy father's sake." And then there may be light for Mephibosheth in that blessed relation between David and Jonathan. And he may be only the recipient of that blessed love that was between them. All then he may have light and joy and gladness and a good day. A pillar of fire by night to give them light to go by day and night. Light into that way of free and sovereign grace for the chiefest of the sinners. Light, the light of Christ, in that wilderness to lead his people. And what kind of pillar? A perpetual pillar. He took not away that pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before his people. No, the Lord does not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel, he does not sleep and he does not slumber. No, the Lord cares for his church. I, the Lord, he says, do keep it. I will water it moment by moment, lest any hurt it. Why? I will keep it, he says, by night and by day. 40 years. 40 years. That cloud and that pillar that stayed went before the people of the Lord until they arrived in that promised land. And when the children of Israel murmured at the bitter waters of Meribah, oh, still the Lord took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night. And when they murmured again in that wilderness of sin, and they complained when there was no food, oh, then the Lord still took not away that pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And when they come to Rephidim and they complain because there is no water, then he still took not away the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And they come to Sinai and they make a calf. And still, oh, and when they murmur because there is no meat, and when they rebel against Moses, and yet, oh, the Lord, he took not away the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Oh, congregation, what do God's children often sing? Though we oft have sinned against him, yet his love and grace abide. Is that not a blessed people? Is that not a blessed people who are led by the Lord in the wilderness? Oh, are you also led by him in that wilderness? For the flesh, the wilderness is not a nice thing. No, that is offensive. Our nature does not choose for that. But for their soul, it is so good. They are fed with manna from above. They did not get that in Egypt. They did not get that in Egypt. And there they may experience what? They may experience that they are not alone in that wilderness. They may experience that the Lord, that he is going before them in that wilderness, and that he may give them relief from that heat of that sun, and that the Lord may lead them by the light of that pillar of cloud by night. Oh, he led them forth by the right way, that they may go where? To a city of habitation. And that is not a people. They will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Amen. O Lord, convert us. O convert us, Lord. Take us by heart and by hand out of that Ramses that we do enjoy by nature, and all its vanity and sin. Oh, make it to us a burden, and do lead us. It will be against our will to go in that wilderness, but it will be so good. And it will be experienced that thou art there, and that thou goest before. Oh, could it please thee? Lord, could it please thee? We beseech thee for thy Holy Spirit. Spirit, bring thy word in our hearts, and take us for thy own account. We leave it, Lord. We leave it now in thy hands. What thou wilt do with it, bring us safely to our homes. And wilt thou bring us with desire also in the afternoon to come again unto thy house of prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 84, 1 and 2. I graciously will teach thee the way that thou shalt go, and with my eye upon thee, my counsel make thee know. 1 and 2 of 84.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.